was truly amazing. Amen. We thank God today for being in the house of the Lord. We thank God for all that he's doing in our lives individually, as families. And we thank him for what he's doing in the church life collectively as a corporate organization. Can we all say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. We just bless the Lord. We thank God for my wife, for blessing her way. Amen. And for God being good. We thank God for all of you. Give yourselves a hand praise. Amen. So give yourself a hand of praise. We're not doing it today. But you thought it not wrong, preacher, be in the house of God. And for that, we just thank God. Amen. We thank God today for the Lord's Supper. And just a reminder of how good God has been. Does anybody know God to be a personal deliverer? Do you know God to be a personal deliverer? Do you know that God delivers you when everyone else has given up on you? I remember years ago, my mom was always a wise woman. I should have said this at the ongoing search. My wife was always a wise woman, you know. So she came up when Tanya and Lee got married. Amen. I don't know if y'all remember, my parents both came up. And my mom had a way of always turning everything around for the good. So we were there, and there was, you know, there's different sets of parents and different sets of grandparents. Amen? I know, y'all don't get quiet. I'm just telling you about my mom's wisdom. So we were sitting there, and the whole ceremony is going on, and she called me. Y'all need to know the name, all right? But she called me, and she said, these two, Ty and Lee, don't realize how blessed they are. You know, and we're sitting at their wedding ceremony. She said, most people only have one set of parents and one set of grandparents on each side. She said, how blessed they are. They got two sets of parents and two sets of grandparents. Only my mom would see something like that and turn it around. She said, they just don't know how blessed they are. Amen. And you know, I thank God because sometimes we need to extract wisdom out of our situations. And instead of allowing our situations to speak to us, we need to learn to speak to our situations. Amen. She said, they don't realize how, I actually didn't think about it until yesterday for some reason. I don't think I've ever told them that, not my wife. Amen. As we were sitting at the table, because there was a little friction. Amen. Where's Tanya and Lee? They know there's a little friction. Because that was kind of early in the marriage and everything didn't flow like it ought to flow. Amen. So instead of her looking at the negative part of the bad flow, she extracted some good out of it. That's what my mom was always good for, that she always found good even out of things that seemed to be trouble. And I think that's a lesson we need to learn in life. Amen. We need to stop focusing on so many negative things and find the good out of what God is doing. Can we say amen? Well, you know, y'all don't have to say amen. I'm going to do what I have to do anyway. Because God's been good to me. God has made ways for me. God has blessed me in so many different ways. Amen. And I just thank God. But as I said earlier, I don't really harp on tithes and offerings so much, right? But let me ask you a question. How do most of y'all get paid? Y'all do what?
Work.
Is that a trick question, church? How y'all get paid? Y'all what?
Work.
And when you work, your employer
pays you.
Guess what? The church has only one source of income. How is that?
Alright.
Hey, can you put up there? No. The church only has one source of income. I'm gonna say it again. That's what?
Tithe and offering.
Now I'm worried about getting paid too much. Alright, but how many know in the wintertime, whatever your bills are, multiply that by almost 10. That's what the church bills are. Y'all with me?
Amen.
I told my wife, I don't know how every winter, and then I hope we edit this, how every winter people stop paying tithes. When the winter comes, believe it or not, you are to increase. I'm just saying, we need to learn to trust God and get on a level with God where we pay our tithes and offerings. Amen. I don't harp on it too much, but since it came to my mind today what we was doing, I said, let me do that. Now, I already explained to you all before, the church does not pay The church is mortgage. The church does not pay the church's utilities. I pay them.
Amen.
So when y'all don't pay me, it's hard to pay. So I pay the church mortgage. I pay most of the church utilities. And I still pay tithes and offerings.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I'm saying, if we could just commit to that, I don't like doing fundraising. I don't like doing anything because I don't want the church to be a burden. Amen. But I'll put that out. And on the flip side, when you don't pay your tithes and offering, you know those thousands of dollars of bills that come out of nowhere? God said, when you don't pay your tithes and offering, every time you put your money in a home in a bank to save it, it has holes in it. And when you put the money in it, it just all those unexpected expenses that come out of nowhere, that's because God says when you don't pay your tithes and offering, you're cursed with a curse. Right? So we had a chillness this year. Alright? Because how many know this is one of the coldest winters ever? Right? That month after month. And I told my wife, I even told some of the board members, I said, I didn't say nothing to the church. The narrative is over, I'm gonna say something. In the wintertime, please don't stop paying your tithes and offering. Alright? Amen. If you like, we don't do it by choice, but because of our financial situation, we have to print out tithes and offerings. Like every year we have to give the statement to the bank to make sure we're still solvent. So they don't get mad and come and take the church back. So we still have to give our statement. Some of y'all need to look at your own statement. Right? And say, now, I just use this example. If I paid $2,000, that means I only made $20,000 last year. All right. Y'all got the message. Y'all get too money. Let us say it for a scripture reading. But I'm just saying, we should not be a struggling church. Amen. God, you working? God's blessing you? When you pay your tithes and offering, you just tell God, thank you. Amen. Amen. What is that? King wrote that. King made it. King robbed. Will a man? You know the difference between robbing and stealing? When you rob, that means you go to God. This is what robbing is. I go right in your face. Give me all your money. That's robbing. Now you turn your back. I think if you don't know it, I'm stealing. You got that? So you can't steal from God because he sees everything. So you just rob him. Amen. I hope that don't make dear to your spirit.
Amen.
Bishop Reese told us when we went to Jordan, he told us, you pastors better start preaching on tithe and offering unless your doors get locked. Amen. So I don't do it often, but I do it this time. I pay the church mortgage and utilities. Right? This is a big church, so you know it's going to cost a lot of money. And this year, because we didn't have the manpower, I even paid for all of the snow removal. Each time it snowed, it cost us $150 because we didn't have the manpower. Where did that come from? Did we have extra income? All right. I think everybody here is pretty smart. You got it? Can y'all say we got it? And even if you didn't get it, lies here. Amen. But the church operates off tithes and offerings. So every time you don't pay your tithes and offerings, you're cutting back an expense that the church has. And everybody has ideas, but with ideas, it takes finances. Amen. All right, let us turn. Now that we don't make mockery in the equipment. But the mockery sometimes is necessary.
Amen.
So you need to get God's favor.
Yeah.
Amen. The mocking wrench is necessary for you to get God's favor. Amen. Let us turn to Psalms, the 63rd chapter. And we're going to also go to Psalms 42. Amen.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody got no attitudes in here. Y'all can all speak quiet. Don't get an attitude. I got no attitudes in here. I just told you the truth. Paul said, will you get mad at me because I'm telling you the truth? Amen. It's hard to operate when you don't have God. All right. Psalm 63, we're going to read verses 1 through 8 together. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 63, verses 1 Thuy. And I'm really even bad, because every time I get money, I go to Georgia. Every time I get money, you know what I do? Every time I go speak, you know what I do with all my speakers offering? I put it back in the church. Every once in a while, I give my wife a couple dollars. So Bishop Page, he said, since you want to be so stubborn with your money, he gives it to my wife and said, don't give him a penny. It's the truth. He gives it to me and said, don't give him a penny. He said, will you stop putting all your money back in church? Guess what? It takes money to operate a church. And I don't bother y'all, so I just use my own. If you can't say amen, say ouch. You say, I'll say something. Amen. Psalm 63, verse 1. Do we all have it? And verse 1 reads, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and a thirsty land, where I'm desperate for God, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because of thy loving kindness is better than life. And my lips, Lord, you've been so good, I can't help but praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been, Lord, thank you, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul, Lord, I can't chase you in a weak way. I can't follow you in a weak way, but I gotta follow thee in a hard way. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Lord, we bless your name, and we thank you for your kindness, your mercy, and goodness. Oh God, today we're not here because we've been righteous. Lord, we're not here because we've been holy. Lord, we're not even here because we have fasted and prayed. But we're here today because your mercies are new every morning. And Lord, we say, great is thy faithfulness. Now, Lord, even as we assemble together, Lord, we ask you to search hearts. Lord, we ask you to read minds. Lord, send a word to heal the brokenhearted. Lord, send a word to set the captive free. Lord, send a word even to help those that are blinded by our adversary, the devil. Lord, send a word to open deaf ears spiritually. Lord, we ask you to send a word so that somebody might cry out, what must I do to be saved? Lord, send a word so someone that has drifted away from you will cry out, Lord, I need to get closer. Now, Lord, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. And we just bless you. Can the church say in Jesus' name? Amen. And you may be seated. You know, y'all already know I don't worry about putting no damper on the spirit. Amen. I tell you the truth, and I'm going to come behind the scale and preach the truth. Amen. Because it's so important. You don't want to miss out on your blessings for being disobedient. Let me ask you this. Does God bless disobedient? Why did Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden? Did they murder somebody?
No.
Were they alcoholics?
No.
Were they drug addicts? Did they commit fornication or adultery? They got kicked out because they
disobeyed.
God don't bless you when you're disobedient. The first man and woman learned that, and that's a lesson for all of us to learn, amen? So we're reading here in Psalms, and we're going to also go to Psalms 42. Now, Psalm 42 and Psalm 63 are both psalms from when David had failed God. How many of sometimes, even though we do our best, we come up short?
Amen.
Sometimes, even though we do our best, we come up short. Psalm 42 and Psalm 63 is a time when David was fleeing from his own son Absalom, who was seeking to kill him. Amen. And it was all as a result of, the Bible says, David, in First Samuel, the 13th chapter, and the 14th verse, it says that David was a man after 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter. Then we fast forward to 2 Samuel, an 11th chapter, and the Bible lets us know a man that was after God's own heart. God, David didn't choose God. God chose David. But David fell short. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So when he fell short, he sinned with Bathsheba. And because he sinned with Bathsheba, he said, you know what? I'm the king. I'm going to connive a plan to cover it. I'm going to cover my sin. But the Bible says, I believe it's in Proverbs 28:13, which you all have already read four times, being in April, and we're reading one chapter of Proverbs every month. So if you already read this four times, if not, you have to make it up. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. So David tried to, you can't cover sin. The Bible said God has a book. Now, let me talk to you, Pastor. Listen. When we get on sin and stuff, y'all don't look down, look up and fake me out. Right, fake me out. I ain't trying to see you, but when you look down, it's like, oh, fake me out. Look at me, laugh, do something. You might be laughing on the outside and crying on the inside, but fake me out. But David was a man after God's own heart, but he failed God and he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Then to cover his sin, he had her own husband, Uriah, killed. First, he denied the plan. I'm just trying to help you. You can't cover stuff from God. God sees and he knows it all. Now, he said, David, yes, you are a man after my own heart. And what made David a man after God's own heart is even when he messed up, he said, Lord, I was wrong. That makes you right. We, listen, as long as we're alive in this body, none of us are going to be perfect. But your failure when you don't tell God, I was wrong. Right? So David went and got Uriah. Uriah was committed to the Lord and the work of God. He said, now I know that your wife, Bathsheba, is at the house with child because they said they told David she was pregnant. So he sent for Uriah, who without fighting, he said, come on back. Uriah comes in, he puts up a pretense. Don't pretend with God. He knows the truth, right? Amen. I'm just giving you all fill-ins so we don't have to go through all the chapters. So he tried to cover the sin. He said, Uriah, go home, wash your feet, and see your wife, hoping that they would have something so that he could say the child was Uriah's and not his. But Uriah was dedicated to the work of God. When Uriah left the king, he went and sat out in the court with the king's servants. And somebody came and told David, he said, hey, didn't you tell Uriah to go home? He said, well, Uriah didn't go home. He's sitting out there with the king's servants. And David King called him back in and he made him drunk. He figured, once I get this spirit, you won't know left from your right. So he made him drunk trying to cover the sin. Uriah was drunk. I tell you, thank you, Jesus. I heard a story just a while ago, and you can be drunk. And when you get saved, God will clean up a drunk. Yes, you can be an alcoholic when you get saved and you really want to be saved, God will clean you up. You can be addicted to something when you really get saved, God will set you free. I heard the late Bishop Barnes said, a drunk came in his church. He said he was so drunk he couldn't stand up. So when they made the altar call, the drunk came forward and said, I want to get baptized. And Bishop Barnes said, get him out. And the drunk said, what kind of church is this? He said, what kind of church you got? I'm telling you, I want to get baptized and you're sending me out. He said, man, you can't even stand up. He said, well, what kind of church is this? I want to get baptized. So after they argued for a few minutes, Bishop Barnes said, get him ready. Bishop Barnes said to his amazement, the man went down an alcoholic, came up sober and speaking in tongues. I'm saying, when you get saved like you are, I'm saying, when you get saved for God, God can clean you up from that moment on. Somebody said, well, I got to go to 12 steps, 10 steps, 100 steps. When you get saved like you want to get saved, you don't have to go to those steps. You step in your heart and you step out clean. But just get that down the box. So he tried to make, isn't this interesting story? So he tried to make Uriah drunk. Uriah was drunk, but he still had a sober mind. He didn't go back. So David figured out, I can't get him to go to Bathsheba, so I can blame the child on him instead of knowing that I'm the guilty one. So, you know how committed Uriah was? He got to be committed. David wrote his own death message. He wrote his own death message, and he gave it to Uriah. He said, take this back to Joab. You know how faithful that man had to be? His own death message. You had to peek at the message. You know, seriously, y'all are like, but ain't nobody gonna see me. God sees you. Yeah. Uriah was committed. So he never read his own death message that he delivered. Amen. So he takes the message back to Joab and he follows David's instruction. And then Joab sends a message saying, well, they shot from the wall and served him, his servants are dead. And David said, well, why don't you get too close? He said, but remember this, your servant Uriah is dead also. David said, well, strengthen yourself and take the city. So David never forgot, but God never forgets. He that keepeth Israel, neither everything we do in the book, everything we do, God has a book. Lord, I thank you. And the reason we confess our sins is because on that great getting up morning, as they say outside, when you stand before God, the Bible is in the books. Thank you. And the books are open. Everything you've ever done is in the book. The stuff you had messed up on and you got it right, God crossed it out. So yeah, he did this, but he confessed it to the pastor before God, because you can't confess to the pastor. I don't have power to release sin. But God does. So everything you've been wrong, God said, I crossed it out. But if you get down the list and some stuff, Lord, thank you. On the day of judgment, when you stand before God, I can't help you at that point. Your husband, your wife, nobody can help you at that point. At that point, it's between you and God. When God goes down the list, he said, well, but if he goes down the list and you say, I have some stuff on the list that you have not yet got right, God cannot give you the release to go into heaven. They say, well, I can say, have mercy on me. The scripture says the way you treat all of them, that's the way you lie. The way you give up the ghost, that's the way God judges you. So I say, get it right now. So David, so David thinks he can cover sin, and nobody knows, but God had a record. So God sent Nathan the prophet to David, and he gives him a parable. And David get angry. He said, the man's gonna do this and do that and do the other. Nathan looked at David and said, thou art the man. But because I got a gun, a man, I'm a man after God's own heart, David said, I have sinned. God said, yes, and I've forgiven you. But an enemy is going to arise from your whole house. One of your whole family members is going to seek your life to kill you because you have committed this sin. He said, you've done it in secret. God said, but I'm going to make it known. Lord, don't ever think you can do something and God will find out. So he said, an enemy is going to rise from within. Maybe we don't see it, we don't know, but how many know God knows? And he said, the enemy is going to come. So then Absalom devised a plan to have his own father killed. And that brings us to Psalm 63 and 42. Wasn't that interesting? But can we find ourselves in there? Can we look back at the record and say, no debt owed. My uncle sing a song, paid in full. I don't owe nothing. Everything I've done, Lord, I pay. because he tried to cover his sin. So he's out in the wilderness of Judah. Psalm 42 says, as the heart panted after the water broke, so panted I after thee. David said, wait a minute, I'm not even in the palace. I'm not in a place of comfort and safety. He said, I'm running like an animal being sought after and hunted for my life. But he says here, he says, as the heart panted after the water broke, so panted my soul after thee, O God. And the Hebrew word for panted is Arag, A-R-A-G. It means to cry after God. It means to long for God. Because now David is separated from the temple that's back in Jerusalem. David is separated from God. So in his separation because of his sin, he wants to get back to the place of God where he needs to be. He wants to get back into the presence of God. So our message today is, are you longing for God? Or are you fainting without God? That's the question for all of us today. Are you longing for God? I mean, I'm panting after God. I'm desiring to be with God. Even if I used to be with God and I've drifted, I want to get back to the place of God where I used to be. So he goes on to say in verse 242nd Psalm, my soul thirsted for God. David is fleeing for his life. And he says, I'm only a step away from death. Absalom has sent me in there and trying to kill David. And David is running from Absalom. But David doesn't focus on Absalom. David focuses on God. Today, some of us might be running and fleeing. But don't focus on the adversary. It's time to focus on God. David said, I'm out of God's presence. I'm away from the place of God where I felt the peace of God. He said, if I could just get back to God. I wonder, does anybody drifted today to get you back to God? Hallelujah. My soul thirsted for God, for the living God. When shall I come in? David's right now running for my life, but I got to get back to God. Does anybody today feel like you need to get back to God? Does anybody feel like you need to be back in the presence of God? My tears have been my meat day and night. While they continue to say unto me, you know when you're going through stuff and people see they got a nerve to say, you've been saying, where's your God? You've been trusting God. Where is your God? David said, I'm in one of those desperate situations. Well, my tears are by me day and night. And everybody around me is mocking me, putting me to shame, saying, where is thy God? He said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul. Lord, thank you. David said, it's not about a short time now, it's a real thing. David said, I want to get back to God where I used to be. I want to be back in the presence of God where I used to be. Well, David, why do you want to be in the presence of God where you used to be? Because in his presence is a fullness of joy. And in his right hand is I got joy, but my joy is not full because I'm not in the presence of God. So I need to get back with God so I can have some full joy. I need to get back to God where I can have my praise in my lips. I need to get back to God where I can have peace of mind. I need to get back where I can feel the Lord touch me every once in a while and say, well done, my dear and faithful servant. Can the church say hallelujah? So David goes on to say, for I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. David is running, he's living in caves, he's living in the wilderness. But all David wants to do is get church. David wants to get back to the place of God. He said, I've been running, but I've got to get back to God. Anybody been running? Hallelujah. Running away from God. Running from the enemy. It's time to get back If I don't have a car, I'll seek you. to God. So he said, he goes on to say in the 63rd verse, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen it, when I was back in church. David says, yes, right now I'm not in church like I ought to be. You know, some of us, sometimes we ain't in church like we ought to be. But then the Lord God can say, take me back. Take me back, Lord. I want to preach to the place where I used to feel the joy. Where I used to feel the peace. Where I felt the comfort of my spirit. He said, take me back to the place where I used to feel when I was in your sanctuary. Because that loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be. When I get back to God where I want to be, that's the only way my soul will be satisfied is with marrow and fatness. And my mouth. And my mouth. My mouth's going to praise you. My mouth ain't going to complain and murmur. My mouth is not going to be sorrowful. But my mouth is going to praise you with joyfulness. Jesus said, the joy that I give you, the world. Somebody said, I just want joy. Well, you don't know joy till you get in God. You don't know peace till you get in God. He said, the joy I give you, the joy the world can give it to you. And the world can't. The peace that I give you, the world can't. And the world can't. So you got to get back in God where you are to be. Somebody said, well, I never was there. It's time to get there. Because when you get in the presence of God, you will feel and experience something you never imagined possible. Can the church say hallelujah? So we need to get back to God. But let me just finish this. He says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings I will. If you're in God like you ought to be, you can't help but rejoice. You can't help but rejoice. Maybe you don't have everything you need, but you will rejoice. All right? So we are to long to be with God. Now, actually, this word for longing really means fainting for God. All right? It really means, it's K-A-M-A-H. It means to faint after God. Anybody ever fainted? Anybody ever fainted? I fainted 1 year ago. I was foolish and fasting 3 days, straight through, didn't drink, eat anything. I went to work on the midnight shift. And all every few seconds, I was getting up on the floor. Didn't know what happened. Fainted. Years ago, so I learned don't fast like that no more. You got to eat, drink something. You got to eat, but drink something. Right? So, yeah, I fainted. Didn't know. When you faint, guess what? You don't know nothing. You just out. Amen. Anybody ever fainted? Well, this is what David said. He said, I'm out with others' world. I want to make contact with God. I fainted. I fainted from this world. I want to make contact with God. That's good fainting. That's good hungry. That's good panting. But there's a negative fainting. And that's what we need to decide today. What? I'm going to try and do this quickly. What part of fainting was? Are we fainting after God or fainting without God? There is a difference. Are you fainting after God, longing, panting after God? Are you fainting without God? We're going to close in Luke, the 18th chapter. Even though we have other scriptures, we're going to close here in Luke, the 18th chapter. Amen? Amen. Jesus gives them a parable, starting at verse 1. And he's making a parable unto them to this end, that men are always and that's one of the only scriptures he got about not fainting. That thing needs to grow weary, to quit, to become exhausted with life, and to give up. He said, one of the only ways that you won't become exhausted with life and quit and give up is you have to pray. Not pray when you feel like, but pray what? A-L-W-A-Y-S. Men are always, go back to one for a minute. Don't go fast yet. Men are always. Because your prayer life will guarantee that you won't faint. So if you're fainting, you can't be praying. Because the Bible says if you faint in the day of adversity, it reveals that your strength is small. So if you faint, you're not praying. For whatever the reasons are you make up, you're not praying. I don't care what has come against you, you still aren't praying because Jesus said, if you pray, you won't. Well, he said, now, if you want the full illustration of what I'm teaching you about my fainting, verse 2 said, there was in a city a judge. He didn't care nothing about God. He didn't have the slight amount of godliness in his bones. And there was a widow in that city, and she came up to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But after he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because his widow troubled me, I will avenge her lest by her she
hear me.
The judge said, if I don't do something, this lady is going to wear me out. Why? Because she won't stop coming. Amen. Don't get tired of coming to God. Amen. He says, verse 6, and the Lord says, hear what the unjust just said. And Lord, I thank you. I might not understand it, but I still thank you. And shall I God avenge. If you save you, God's elect. God will take care of you. Just keep coming to him. He's only let you cry. God said, I want to help you, but it can't be when you feel like it, because your prayer life has to be day and night. And David said it this way. He said, morning, night, and noon will I pray. Amen. Daniel, when they were in captivity, he prayed 3 times a day as he always did. Because prayer is your deliverance in a bad situation. So he said, you ought to pray day and night. Though he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find that faith should be faithfulness. That means persevere. Hard times, persevering in difficult times. Lord, I don't want to use no name. Anybody been through some stuff for a long time and it didn't seem like nothing was going to happen? God said, keep on praying. Amen. He said, keep on persevering. Don't quit on me now. Don't give up on me now. Amen. You got to persevere through this. How do I know that you're going to persevere? You got to be faithful. If you're faithful, he said, God will avenge his only name. You can send a text to somebody that pray for you, and you can do it all day and all night. I mean, they got a night, you can send out a million requests. But why not bring it to Jesus? He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So a lot of us have been crying, but we've been crying in our own ears. God said, if you cry to me day and night, amen, that you shall find rest for your soul. Today, are you longing for God? Are you fainting without God? If you're born weary, if you're exhausted with life, if you're about to quit and give up, it's time to come back home. It's time for you to surrender home. It's time for you to say, Lord, have thou no other gifts as we all stand in Jesus' name.